Rosh Chodesh Nisan is this week. I guess we may conclude that Pesach is on the way.
And we had any doubts.
If we had any doubts. As I mentioned over the years, the shir, there are certain shirim that are markers of time. And the pre-Pesach shir is also a marker of time. Baruch Hashem, this is the 23rd time I'm giving this shir in Avos Yisrael. As the Hashem is Baruch. I reflected on the nature of what Pesach is, and every person in their own life has certain aspects in their own personal avodah of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that's most significant. Varied mitzvahs have a very special place in a different way for different people. And as the Rambam wrote in the Perush HaMishnayos in the end of Makkos, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us so many mitzvahs. So, because one of the necessary steps in reaching Olam Haba is to do at least one mitzvah totally the Shem Shemayim and to fulfill it to the nth degree. Now, it's not so easy to do a mitzvah to the nth degree, and not so easy to do a mitzvah fully the Shem Shemayim for no other purpose other than to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So, among mitzvahs, each one of us finds a different mitzvah, a different mitzvahs. We feel a greater connection with them. And for whatever all the reasons may be, but Pesach in my own life has been a very central focus throughout my life. And I've had very special experiences on Pesach. It's a chisi to spend a number of them with Gdolei Yisrael, and it's an experience, the experience of Pesach, I always say, it's almost a magical, otherworldly experience. There is no other experience that in Jewish life that has so captured the imagination of the Jewish people. And that's why the Seder, eating of matzah, are of the most highly observed mitzvahs in all of Klal Yisrael. True, each one kol echad lifi madregosa. You know, people that are very far and distant from observance in their own way, but families come together. There's something that everyone wants to touch when it comes to Pesach. And a very striking example of this, and I've shared this with you before many times, and it just became very, very meaningful to me. He was a Goyin B'Yisrael, a grandson of the Alter of Slobodka, Rav Leizer Plachinsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I was Zeicher to know him well, to learn with him. And he shared once an experience. He was a real Litvak in the Litter. And he said that the non-Jews, they realized the uniqueness of Pesach. And they want in some way to connect with it. And this celebration was so extraordinary that they wanted to be touched by it as well. And I remember in Lita, said the mailman used to wear caps. That was part of their uniform. Says the ultimate tip that you could give the mailman Pesach time was to give him a piece of matzah. This was the ultimate tip. And I still remember the mailman taking a piece of, breaking off a piece for himself to eat, taking off his cap and putting the rest under his cap to bring home to his wife and children that they could also touch the yontif of Pesach. It's an extraordinary yontif. And I stopped to think that we have a very unusual prohibition. The Torah tells us there are many things we should not eat. Parsha Shmini has a lengthy list at the end of Parsha Shmini, all the halachas of the things we may eat, the things we may not eat. And basically the Torah tells us, Lo'isaychal, this and this you may not eat, very simply and straightforwardly. Yet that all the things we may not eat, we're allowed to possess all of them. There's no iser on having them in my possession. And even if it's something which I'm not allowed to gain any benefit from, I have no obligation to search my house and turn it inside out to find out that lest I may have something which, a piece of basar b'chalav somehow, you know, the maid dropped a McDonald's a hamburger under the couch someplace and I have some basar b'chalav in the house. It's also asr b'hanah. But I don't have to turn the house over looking for it. Pesach, I have to eliminate all chametz and marashus. What exactly, what is the nature of this Easter? And one simple possibility is the Torah writes in Parshas Bo, Tashbisu Sa'omri Botecha, eliminate chametz from your homes. Yichol Eichol chametz b'nichrosom, because whoever eats chametz will violate the Isra of Koros. Koros is a very severe Isra. Now that being the case, so perhaps the fact that we shouldn't have chametz in our rishus is a means of keeping us from violating eating chametz. That's one rendering of the pasuk. It's possible to read it that way, but I think it is equally clear that many rishonim did not read the pasuk that way. If they read the pasuk instead to mean ki kol oichol chametz v'nichrusa, that chametz is a severe iser. The proof of that is ki kol oichol chametz v'nichrusa, that it is unusual upon things that we eat that it should carry an iser of koris with it. That's very, very unusual. So just as the Torah was particularly stringent in not allowing us to eat chametz, the Torah is telling us it was equally stringent in not allowing us to possess chametz. But again, it begs the question, what exactly is the nature of this Easter? Why do we have it? And I come to a thought that so many years ago from Rabbi Simcha, the Meshech Chochma, cites a Yerushalmi, the Haggadah of Rabbi Simcha, where they gathered from all the varied forms of Rabbi Simcha, his insights. They tell us the following. He cites a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells us that in the Egyptian service of their Avodah Zarah, of their deity, chametz was an integral part of that service. It says, how and why the Yerushalmi does not go into a lengthy dissertation on Egyptian pagan practices to explain to us exactly the role that it played. But that it played a role, that much the Yerushalmi tells us. Now, in a larger sense, we find this is reflected, the notion of this Yerushalmi is reflected in the Rambam 2 and Sefer HaMorah. In Chumash Vayikra, we have a pasuk which states, Ki cholduch, sa'or v'chol d'vash lo k'saktirim v'meno isha l'asham. Neither chametz nor any extract of fruits may be brought on the Mizbeach. And we never bring them on the Mizbeach. Everything that goes on to the Mizbeach is matzah. We have some karbonos which involve chametz peripherally. Karbon toida has 10 of its chalas of chametz, but none of them are brought on the mizbeach. We have shtei halechem on Shavuos, but it's the animals which are brought on the mizbeach and not the lechem. The lechem upon him was not lechem, it was matzah. So the Rambam tells us what is the reason for this. The Ramban cites this in his Perush on Chumash, that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah pagan practice was to incorporate chametz and extracts of fruit juices into their karbonos. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Shalom, when he gave us the mitzvahs of karbonos, he wanted to segregate us from pagan practices, and therefore he banned the inclusion of chametz and dvash extract, fruit extracts. So the Rambam also tells us that chametz is broadly identified with the Avodah Zarah, but Rabbi Simcha cites Yerushalmi specifically with the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. And from that standpoint, I think a lot of things become very understandable. The lechem aponim, as I mentioned, was matzah. It was not chametz. The Gemara states in Baba Basra that one that prays, that was Paulo before the Rabbeinu Shalom, and he desires to become rich, is Yatpin. He should face towards the Migdash and tilt a little towards the northern side. If a person wishes to become wise in Torah, he should face towards the Migdash and tilt towards the southern side. What's the reason? With Simon Echa, the Simon the Gemara says, Sha'a Shulchan B'tzofen, V'amanoira B'dorom. The Shulchan was in the northern side of the Migdash, and the Menorah was on the southern side of the Migdash. The Menorah represents, as the Netziv expounds at the beginning of Parshas Baloischa and others, the radiance of Torah. And therefore, one that wishes for particular success in Torah should face towards the Menorah, to be inspired by the Menorah, to draw from its inspiration, to draw from its bracha. The lechem aponim, which included the 12 lechem aponim on it, bread, is the staff of life. And from the lechem aponim came the bracha for parnasa. So a person that wished to become wealthy, so he turned towards the bracha for parnasa. And that was his focus. And in the Migdash, where the bracha for parnasa would come from, even chametz was not allowed. It was associated with pagan practices. And therefore the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wished, when we wanted bracha in this world, for material things in this world, that itself be free of any taint of Avodah Zarah. And therefore pagan practices were bent. Yeah, we would have lechem, and lechem would be the source of bracha, as it could be for any society in the world. But the lechem that we would use would be distinctly the lechem that no other society would use. It would be matzah. When we come to the world of Avodah Zarah, let me read a halacha to you from the laws of Avodah Zarah. It's not a subject that we study too much nowadays, except perhaps, you know, in rabbinic circles, but commonly that's not exactly the issue to study the laws of Avodah Zarah. In the Chochmas Adam, it's in Siman Peivov, Halacha Yud Gimel. Mitzvah, Akala Meitzei Avodah Zarah, anyone that finds an Avodah Zarah is commanded, Sheyivareno, you should destroy it, V'yavdeno, V'keitzad Mevara, and how does he destroy it? Sheichek V'zorah L'ruach, grind it up and cast it away into the wind, and throw it into a river, or matalayam, and throw it into the sea. I feel it below shechika, even without grinding it up. The ancient shashayim tzana acher. Who are doing the mshamshin ulenovel, and similarly those things which were used in the service of the Avodah Zarah or to beautify it. Shenema abe to abdon, that we should destroy such things. V'alo kol veisay. And if I take it home with me, Ivan Misham Lo Sovi So Eva Besecha. Uve Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Shayad Yisrael Tkifa, when we have absolute power in Eretz Yisrael, Tzorach L'Sharesh Acharecha, that we have to seek out Avodah Zarah. They have to search for it and destroy it. Avaloi b'chutzlar, it's not in chutzlar, elim boli yodo yigoreno. If I happen to take possession of an avodah zarah, I should destroy it if it comes into my hands. I don't have to seek out avodah zarah. So what are the halachas that we see? By avodah zarah, there's a din of bedika, the sharash acharon. I have to search for it. There's a din of destroying it. And sheyavar keitzad, sheichik b'zarah l'ruach, amat aliyam. Same way we do with chametz. And there's a din that I'm not allowed to possess it. And when I considered in the light of the Rishalmi, that Ramei Simcha tells us that chametz is a factor in Avodah Zarah, and then I came to this halacha, so it lit up. This exactly is the halacha of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, we have to endeavor to remove from our house. If it's there, we have to find it and get rid of it. We have to destroy it. It's not allowed to keep it at all. It's allowed to keep it in my house. So this is the parallel of chametz. That's why chametz is unique. Because chametz is unique, it's not in the general classification of macholos asuros. Chametz comes from the world of Avodah Zarah. It's classified according to the halachas of Avodah Zarah. It's striking how parallel the two are. And from that I realized something else as well. That we have another halacha, another statement, besides the statement of Tashbisu Sa'arbi Motecha, Bal Yiron, Bal Yimotze, may not possess chametz. We have another statement of the Easter of having chametz on Pesach. On Erev Pesach, at Chatzos, there is a din that I have to shech the korban Pesach, which begins at noon on Erev Pesach. There is a parallel halacha to the korban Pesach, a part of the halacha of korban Pesach, that we find in the Chumash, the Sishchat al Chametz Dam Zivchei. I may not possess chametz at the time that I shech the korban pesach. Now, this is a law which is associated with bringing the korban pesach. This is an effect beyond just bayirah bayimotze. Bayirah bayimotze is a statement not tied dafka to the korban pesach. Here ties the law, the iser possess chametz starting erev pesach, is los shishchat al chametz dam zivchi, that the korban pesach may not be shechted if I possess chametz. So it's that is tied into the Easter of to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Rashi tells us in Parshas Bo, we're going to read it on the first day of Yom Tov. Mishchu u'kchu lochem tzoyin, the pasuk says, b'shachatu ha'posach. Mishchu u'kchu lochem tzoyin. In one interpretation, Rashi tells us, mishchu yideichem and avodah zarah. Draw your hands away from the avodah zarah. U'kchu lochem tzoyin. And take a sheep, v'shachatu ha'posach, and bring a korban pesach. The korban pesach, the initial korban pesach, its purpose was to drive us away, to pull us away from Avodah Zarah. In Egypt, they worshipped the animal that we used for the Avodah Zarah. That's the Nes of Shabbos Hagodol, which on the calendar that we have this year is on the 10th of Nisan on Shabbos, as it was in the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We took a sheep, we put it aside, and the Mitzrayim asked us, what is the sheep? And we told them, well, 4 days hence, and this is what they worship in Egypt. We couldn't even break bread together, the cultural divide was so great. And what you worship, 4 days from now we're going to slaughter it to our God. That is a very audacious statement. It's an audacious statement for anyone to make, and certainly for a minority to make, and certainly for an oppressed minority that is still in slavery to Mitzrayim, to make such a declaration. It took tremendous faith in the Rebbeinu Shalom. And yet we did it. This was the Korban Pesach. We took the worship object of Mitzrayim, and in Mitzrayim, not outside Mitzrayim, not in the Midbar, not in Eretz Yisrael, But in Mitzrayim, we took it and we shechted it, every single Jew. We took the blood, according to Shaila in the Mechilta. There are 2 days. Rashi only cites one of them, that it was inside, but there's a day on the Mechilta that the dam was outside. Put the dam on the outside. So we were not shy about the fact of what we had done. We decorated every household with our artwork. We sat down. This is the final night in Mitzrayim. And since Korban Pesach was to push us away from the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, in a Korban in Mitzrayim, we have chametz. So the Rabbeinu Shalom says to us, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. When you go to the Beis HaMikdash to shecht the Korban Pesach, there won't be any chance in a million that Avodah Zarah is involved with it. You won't even have such a thought. Why? Because by the time you go to the Beis HaMikdash, by the time you sit down to bring that korban, you won't possess a shred of chametz. You won't own an iota of chametz. If you wanted to, you couldn't involve chametz in the process. It's like sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. And I think that's the very yisoid, in a larger sense, maybe with the Rabbanon. Chametz is not bottle barayv, not bottle b'shishim. One of the few isurim which is not bottle. It's assumed that this din is a din derabbanon. It's not a din deraisa, that there's no bittul. The rice is bottle b'shishim. But the Rabbanon, even the slightest drop of chametz is a problem. Now perhaps that's the reason for it. Because in the world of Avodah Zarah, you can't even have a drop of it. Tzorach l'shara shachareh. There's no bittul by Avodah Zarah. There's no bittul by chametz. And perhaps that's the ultimate message of Pesach. Its message is that we are a people apart, a culture apart, a religion apart. We don't operate by the norms of the society around us, by its religious ideals, by their persuasions. We're strikingly different than they are. We look at the entire world differently. We are not involved in a religious sense in a struggle between the material and the spiritual. There's not even a definition of what the religion is. We recognize the challenges and the conflicts that can exist between the material and the spiritual. But our ultimate goal is to sanctify the physical too. And that was the notion, the Korban Shlomo, which is unique to Klal Yisrael. Every religion in the world can take a korban and dedicate something entirely to the Rabbi Shalom. That I should benefit from something which belongs to the Rabbi Shalom, and we have benefit in it, and it's still sanctified. That's a very difficult task. And yet, we engage the world around us in Yadus. We are involved in every aspect of life. Because in life itself, we see the ultimate expression of Kedusha. Our religious ideals are very far from the world around us. And perhaps Pesach is the time that we're meant to reflect upon that. The world is a foreign place, the world around us, with very different ideals than we have. And we need to stop. Maybe Pesach is the time that we stop and think of how different we are than the world around us. We march to a different tune. And maybe that's part of the message that we have to have in the difficult economic circumstances in which we live presently. Maybe that's part of the message. To ask ourselves if we need to detach ourselves a little bit it's some distance somewhat from the American dream. To live comfortably materially is a very good thing. To chase money endlessly is a very bad thing. And perhaps so much in our society in the last decades has been just an endless pursuit of money. And it reaches a point where it has no meaning. Its expression that it has no meaning, you can find in the last year by something done by Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Bill Gates gave $40 billion away to charity, and Warren Buffett has some 30-some-odd billion dollars. What does that tell us? Two of the richest men in the world realize, in a certain regard, the futility of it all. If you have $40 billion, what in the world are you going to do with $40 billion? There's nothing you can conceive of to do with it. Yeah, you have a business and it keeps generating money and money and money and money and money. What are you going to do with it? There's nothing to do with it. It's beyond any use. They were noble enough that they dedicated it to some higher purpose. They defined the higher purpose to serve mankind, try to assist the human condition in this world. But in a personal sense, there's absolutely nothing to do with it. And we need to ask ourselves the influences of the world around us. And we need to think back of the words that we heard from our sages of a generation and two generations ago. To have heard of Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, speak on a society possessed by materialism, that saintly soul that he was, is something that we need to think about what he saw is what should be life's goals and what are life's goals in this country. And not a person that was a dreamer, and not a person removed from the world of reality. He headed a kahila which was very much involved in this world, to succeeding in this world. And yet, he had a very keen eye as to what reflected our values and what we veered from them. So perhaps Pesach is meant to be that time that we ask ourselves again, by our own yardstick, what our true goal should be. And it's a mitzvah which the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us. It's a very difficult mitzvah. But if we see that it is a mitzvah which serves to set us apart from the world, to define the essence of what it means to be a Jew, that itself is worth all the effort. Everything that goes into it is worthwhile if we succeed in ultimately focusing on its message. And what's important to us in life are the things that we work very hard for. It's not that things that are important to us we work hard for. That's true in some measure. But the reality is that the things that we work very hard for, those are the things which are most significant to us. Chabad Soloveitchik says that our children are as precious as they are to us because of all the effort that it takes to care for them. It's because we expend that effort that's what gives them their significance. The hachana that we have for Pesach is what gives Pesach, what makes it truly unique, truly significant. The toil which goes in to see that the house is kosher, the food is kosher, everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be, that when we fulfill the mitzvahs exactly in the right fashion, it's tremendous effort that's involved. And we're unstinting in that effort. That's what ultimately gives the Chag its glow and its significance. So we should not want to parachute into this Chag. It is the preparations for the Chag that ultimately would make it as significant as it is. I want to go through the basic things that we have to do for the Chag.